Friends by Mail, inspired by the friend. I was reading a story in the Friend magazine about a girl who was collecting dresses for people in another country who were in an earthquake. Presents for Princesses, August 2011. I thought I wanted to do the same thing, so my mom helped me collect 84 dresses for girls in Africa. We called it Dresses for Darlings. Sarah H., age 7, Washington, USA.
Singing a song. I was reading the October 2012 copy of The Friend, and I read The Song of the Heart about Mike on the bus when Brayden was saying bad words. On the bus the next day, someone was making fun of me and of other people's talents. It made me feel bad, so I sang a primary song with my best friend. It made me feel happy inside. Leah K., age 11, Arkansas, USA.
How we read The Friend. Read The Friend while relaxing by the pool. Maddie and Avery H., and Brandon and Austin F., ages 4, 7, 7, and 9, Florida, USA.
Learning Patience. I like the All-Star Brothers story in September 2012 issue of The Friend. Sometimes my brother moans in the morning when my mom tries to wake him up for school. Reading the story helped me be more patient. Hunter C., age 7, Ohio, USA.
Dear friends, all year in our On the Trail stories, we've been telling you how the church was restored in the 1800s. This month, on pages 24 through 25, we've given you an On the Trail map that you can use for the rest of the year. Then you can follow the trail of the brave pioneers from Missouri all the way to Salt Lake City. Have you visited any of the places in our On the Trail series? Write and tell us about your visit. Happy Pioneer Day, The Friend. Was there a letter or a story in this month's issue that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail.
Follow the Prophet, Save Her, by Heidi S. Swinton. Every summer, the Monson family spent 2 months at the family cabin on the Provo River. Tommy Monson learned to swim in the river's swift currents. One warm afternoon when Tommy was about 13, he grabbed a big inflated inner tube and floated down the river. That day, a large group of people had gathered at a picnic area by the river to eat and play games. Tommy was about to float through the fastest part of the river when he heard the frantic cries, "Save her! Save her!" A young girl had fallen into the treacherous whirlpools. None of the people on shore could swim to save her. That's when Tommy appeared on the scene and saw the girl's head disappear under the water. Tommy stretched out his hand, grasped the girl by her hair, and then lifted her over the side of the inner tube. Then Tommy paddled to the riverbank. First, the family threw their arms around the girl, kissing her and crying. Then they began hugging and kissing Tommy. He felt embarrassed by all the attention, and he quickly returned to his inner tube. As Tommy continued his float down the river, he was filled with a warm feeling. He realized that he had helped save a life. Heavenly Father had heard the cries, "Save her! Save her!" He made it possible for Tommy to float by at exactly the time he was needed. That day, Tommy learned that the sweetest feeling is to realize that God or Heavenly Father knows each one of us and allows us to help him save others. Safety Circle. As Tommy learned how to swim in the Provo River, his family surrounded him, so if he needed help, someone would always be close by. You can be like Tommy and play the Safety Circle game. You will probably need some assistance with this activity. You will need 4 more players, an open area. How to play. Make a circle and hold hands. One player stands in the middle of the circle. The player in the middle wears a blindfold and slowly walks around in different directions, wherever he or she wants to go. The players in the circle need to keep holding hands, but try not to get touched by the player in the middle. Take turns standing in the middle. Words from President Monson. Our opportunities to give of ourselves are indeed limitless. There are hearts to gladden. There are kind words to say. There are gifts to be given. There are deeds to be done. There are souls to be saved. From the First Presidency Christmas Devotional, ensigned February 2001, page 73. End of the article. Follow the Prophet, Save Her by Heidi S. Swinton.
The Story Rug by Kay Timpson, based on a true story. Who knew so many stories could be wrapped up in one rug? We as the children can seek out our loved ones, preserving their names and their memory. Children's Songbook, pages 90 and 91. Katie skipped along the sidewalk toward the big oak tree at the corner of her street. The old tree made Nana's house easy to find. As usual, Nana was sitting in her living room, quietly braiding and sewing strips of bright cloth. The polished wooden floors of Nana's house were decorated with beautiful rugs that Nana made herself.
"Hello, honey,"
Nana said as Katie came in. Soon they were talking about what Nana called the old days. They looked at black and white photos together. Katie especially liked seeing the clothes and hairstyles her relatives wore when they were younger.
"Things were very different then,"
Nana said with a sigh.
"You know, we didn't have cars or TV or cell phones."
Katie couldn't even imagine having to walk everywhere.
"What did you do for fun, Nana?"
Katie asked.
"We loved to sing together. We would gather around the piano in the evening and sing our favorite songs. Sometimes we'd sing ourselves hoarse. It was such a fun time."
Nana looked off into the yard as if she could rewind the years and watch them over again. Katie sat next to the coiled rug that spilled off of Nana's lap. She traced the careful stitches with her fingers.
"I've been thinking,"
Nana said slowly.
"How would you like to make your very own braided rug?"
Katie jumped up and clapped her hands.
"I would love to, Nana. Can we start today?"
Nana chuckled.
"Well, there's something you need to do first. Go home and gather up old clothes that we can cut into strips."
Her eyes twinkled as she leaned toward Katie, her voice quiet as if she were sharing a secret.
"That's what makes the rug special. Because it's made of clothes, the rug can tell the story of your life. Each braid is like a chapter in a book about you. Looking at the fabric of an old dress can help you remember the places you wore it and what you did when you had it on."
Katie's eyes widened. She pointed to the rug Nana was braiding.
"Do you remember all about the cloth in this rug?"
Nana smiled.
"You bet I do. This red piece is from the dress I wore when you were born. I remember pressing my nose to the glass window in the nursery to get a closer look at you. You were still all pink and wrinkly."
Katie and Nana laughed together as Nana continued to tell Katie stories from the rug. As soon as Katie got home that night, she and Mama set aside old clothes that Katie could use for her rug. The next day, Katie took the cloth to Nana's house. Nana showed Katie how to cut the fabric into long strips, braid them, and sew the braids together. Every day after school, Katie went to work on the rug at Nana's house. Little by little, the rug grew. As the days went by, Katie learned many of Nana's stories by heart. Some days, she was the one who told stories to Nana. One day, after adding a blue strip of cloth that used to be a favorite pair of jeans, Katie rubbed the palm of her hand against the colorful braids.
"Don't you think that rug is about done?"
Nana asked, looking up from her work.
"Not yet,"
Katie said with a smile. She never wanted this time with Nana to end. End of the story. The Story Rug by Kay Timpson.
Bright Idea Poster. In this month's poster, we see a mom reading to her children from their family history. She's telling a story about their pioneer ancestors with the following caption: "The hearts of the children shall turn to their fathers," Doctrine and Covenants, Section 2, Verse 2. End of the Bright Idea Poster.
A Big Wind and a Small Voice by Kathy Whitbeck, based on a true story. Oh, may I always listen to that still small voice. Children's Songbook, page 105. Buzz, buzz. Tyler sprawled on top of the jungle gym in his backyard, watching a fuzzy bee zip around and between the bars. "You won't find any nectar here," he said to the bee. "Go look somewhere else." A A gust of wind blew through the yard, spinning the bee away. Tyler sat up. It was getting really windy. He looked over at the apricot tree his brothers Brad and Adam were playing under. Its branches were blowing straight back, like a giant brush was combing through its leaves. "Tyler, get off the jungle gym," a voice inside Tyler said. It wasn't loud, but it was calm and sure. Tyler knew it was the right thing to do. Tyler climbed down. Sitting beside his brothers under the apricot tree, he looked out at the backyard as the wind grew stronger. Just then, a tall tree on the side of the yard began creaking in the wind. Tyler and his brothers watched as a powerful gust of wind hit the yard. With a loud crack, the tall tree crashed down directly in front of them. It smashed into the jungle gym Tyler had been lying on, bending it in half. Tyler and his brothers stared at the fallen tree, their eyes wide. Tyler shakily lifted his hand to touch a branch of the tree. It had fallen only a few inches from his nose. His hand shook, and his insides felt all jiggly-wiggly. "Wow," Brad said, his voice quiet. "You could have been smushed." Adam's mouth hung open like a big letter O. The three boys walked around the fallen tree, staring at the giant branches and the bent jungle gym. Tyler looked down at the roots of the tree. They had grown together in a big ball, and they were pulled completely out of the ground. "That's why the roots couldn't hold the tree up," Brad said. "They grew in a ball because the ground here is mostly sand." "The foolish man built his house upon the sand," Adam said. He laughed. Brad turned to Tyler. "How did you know the tree would fall?" he asked. As Tyler looked at the ball of roots, a warm feeling washed away the fear he'd felt when the tree fell. "I listened to the still small voice," he said. "It told me to move, so I did." Adam looked at him with a big smile. "Your house is built on a rock."
Sidebar. My cousin Branson and I were riding skateboards down the driveway. Suddenly, I heard someone say, "Stop!" I stopped. My cousin stopped, too. She asked me if I had said stop, and I said no. She hadn't said it either. We looked around and didn't see anyone else. Then suddenly, a car came speeding down the road in front of where we had been playing. I knew it was the Holy Ghost that had warned us of danger. It is good to know that I have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ashton W., age 9, Utah, USA.
End of the story, A Big Wind and a Small Voice.
A Girl of Great Faith, Courage and Independence, Part 2, by Hillary Watkins Lemon, based on the life of Mary Elizabeth Rollins Leitner. After a few short happy years in Kirtland, Mary Elizabeth and her family moved to Independence, Missouri, in the fall of 1831. Mary Elizabeth breathed deeply as she walked down the streets of Independence. Though she missed her uncle's store in Kirtland, she admired his new red brick store on the corner of the two of the widest, loveliest streets in Independence. She enjoyed the excitement of building up Zion. After a few months in Independence, Mary Elizabeth felt lucky when a man named Mr. Boggs hired her to work as a seamstress. She was only 14 years old, and the extra money she earned would be a blessing for her family. And besides, she liked to sew. The Boggs family lived just a short distance away from Mary Elizabeth's new home. Mr. Boggs had just been elected to an important political position in the state of Missouri, and he needed new clothes for official occasions. One of Mary Elizabeth's assignments was to sew Mr. Boggs' shirt collars. Mary Elizabeth liked the Boggs family with her many children. She was especially fond of one of the little girls. The Boggs family liked her, too. Often, Mrs. Boggs sewed with Mary Elizabeth for hours at a time. One day, Mrs. Boggs asked, "Mary Elizabeth, you know we are not Mormons, as you are, don't you?" "Yes, Mrs. Boggs," Mary Elizabeth said. "Mary Elizabeth, your church is wrong," Mrs. Boggs said. "Being a Mormon will only bring you pain and disappointment." Mary Elizabeth sat silently. "I have spoken with my husband," Mrs. Boggs went on. "We like you. My husband has power and money, more than your people do. We want to take you in as one of our own. We will provide for you and educate you. You will be one of us." Mrs. Boggs smiled hopefully. "I am sorry, Mrs. Boggs, but I cannot abandon my faith or my people," Mary Elizabeth said. "But thank you for your kindness to me." A few months later, things indeed became more painful for the saints in Missouri. Mobs were starting to attack more frequently. They were even destroying crops and buildings. One day, Mary Elizabeth and her younger sister Caroline were near Brother Phelps' printing office when a mob began destroying the press and dumping large piles of printed paper out the window. Mary Elizabeth recognized the paper right away. The men were destroying the Book of Commandments. "Caroline, we must save those papers," Mary Elizabeth whispered. "Follow me." "They will kill us," Caroline said, "but I will come." Waiting until the men had turned away from the girls, each sister grabbed a large armful of papers and began running toward a cornfield. The men saw the girls and began to chase them, yelling at them to stop. The girls ran into the tall corn, laid the papers on the ground, and lay on top of them to protect them. The sisters could hear the men crashing through the corn stalks nearby. Mary Elizabeth and Caroline's hearts pounded. But to their relief, the girls were not found. After waiting in the corn for a long time, the sisters carried the papers back to the printing office. They were grateful to be safe and that they had helped the Lord's work. Sidebar: The Book of Commandments was a collection of revelations that later became part of the Doctrine and Covenants. With the pages Mary Elizabeth and Caroline saved, the church was able to bind a small number of copies of the Book of Commandments. Oliver Cowdery sent one of the small books to Mary Elizabeth to thank her for her courage. End of the story, Courage and Independence, Part 2, by Hillary Watkins Lemon.
Bulletin Board. Surprise Service. Service can be especially fun when you do it in secret. Cut out the surprise service note above and look for chances to surprise someone by serving them when they're not looking. When you do surprise service for someone, leave the note where they will find it. For example, you could make a sibling's bed and leave the note on the bed for them to find. Then it is that person's turn to do a surprise act of service for someone else. See how many times your family members can pass around the note in 1 week. I love to see the temple. Have you met Erica yet? On page 45, she tells how she helped index names to use in the new temple in El Salvador. If you were to visit that temple, you would see the national flower of her country, called Flor de Izote, in lots of decorations, including on windows, wooden carvings, and granite blocks. Following Jesus, be prayerful. Jesus Christ said, "Pray to thy Father," Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Jesus prayed to Heavenly Father and invited us to follow His example. He taught that we should not pray to impress others, and that when we pray, we shouldn't just repeat words that we don't mean. Instead, we should use respectful language to thank Heavenly Father for what we have been given, ask Him for what we need, and pray for other people, even those we don't get along with. See Matthew chapter 5, verse 44.
This month's challenges. Challenge number 1. Before you pray, ask yourself, "Who could I pray for today?" Challenge number 2. Use respectful words like "thee" and "thou" to talk to Heavenly Father. Challenge number 3. Read the Lord's Prayer in 3 Nephi chapter 13, verses 9 through 13.
Time capsule. A time capsule is a fun way to preserve memories. As a family, talk about important things that happened this year. Gather mementos and pictures of those events. Have family members write about themselves and your family and include a recent family photo. Put all the treasures into resealable bags and place them in a metal or plastic container. On the outside of the container, write the date you would like to open your time capsule. It could be in 1 year, 5 years, or longer. Store your time capsule somewhere safe so you can open it someday.
Ask yourself, "How can I use my talents to help someone today?" End of bulletin board.
On the Trail, Challenges in Missouri by Jennifer Maddy. Come along to explore an important place in church history. For Joseph Smith, it was a long, hard trip from Kirtland, Ohio, to Independence, Missouri. He traveled by wagon, by canal boat, and by stagecoach. For the last 250 miles, he had to walk, but the Lord had told him to go to Missouri to establish the city of Zion, so Joseph Smith obeyed. Other church members began arriving in Missouri in 1831. They plowed the land, built houses, and harvested crops. As more and more church members moved to Independence, Missouri, some of the people who already lived there became suspicious and angry. Mobs attacked the saints' homes and ordered them to leave. William W. Phelps set up a printing shop in Independence, where he published a newspaper. He also printed pages for the Book of Commandments, which contained some of the Lord's revelations of the prophet Joseph Smith. Today, these revelations are in the Doctrine and Covenants. Liberty Jail. In the winter of 1838, Joseph Smith and five other church leaders were arrested on false charges and taken to Liberty Jail. The jail was dark, dirty, and bitterly cold, and the prisoners didn't have warm enough blankets or good food. Liberty Jail had thick stone walls. The upper room was for the jailer and his family, and the lower room, the dungeon, was for prisoners. A trapdoor was the only way in and out of the lower floor. While the prophet was in jail, the Lord told him, "Fear not what man can do, for God shall be with you forever and ever." Doctrine and Covenants, section 112, verse 9. The church rebuilt part of the jail out of some original and some remade stones, and then built a visitor center around it. Today, many visitors come to see the place where a prophet of God received comforting revelations while he was in jail. End of the article, On the Trail, Challenges in Missouri by Jennifer Maddy.
Stories of Jesus. Jesus Christ commands the saints to gather to Zion. Jesus Christ revealed to Joseph Smith that the members of the church should go to Independence, Missouri, which was a place for the city of Zion. Doctrine and Covenants, section 57, verse 2. Today, members of the church gather together all over the world to build up Zion. Zion can be any place where people live the gospel and help each other. Zion is a name for a place where members of the church can gather together and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of these places are our homes, our wards, and our stakes. End of Stories of Jesus. Jesus Christ commands the saints to gather to Zion.
Music, Family Night. Words and Music by Carol Graf Gunn. Note: copyright 1969 by the LDS Church. Arrangement, copyright 2013 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated. All rights reserved. This song may be copied for incidental, non-commercial church or home use. This notice must be included on each copy made. This is the night we've waited for. Always a treat we have in store. We love each other more and more with every family night. Stories and games for everyone. Learning the gospel can be fun. Father and mother, daughter, son, together on family night. End of Music, Family Night, Words and Music by Carol Graf Gunn.
One Scoop at a Time by David Dixon, based on a true story. What did keeping the commandments have to do with this big jar? There's a right way to live and be happy. It is choosing the right every day. Children's Songbook, pages 160 through 161. Lisa looked at the big, empty glass jar that Dad set on the kitchen table. Then she peered at the bag of popcorn kernels sitting next to it. What was Dad up to?
"The scriptures teach us that we're always supposed to keep our lamps full of oil,"
Dad said, starting off their family home evening lesson.
"Back in scripture times, lamps were what people used to see in the dark. They didn't have light bulbs."
Lisa squinted at the jar.
"So the scriptures say we need to keep our lights on all the time?"
She liked her nightlight. That wouldn't be such a bad idea. But how was that jar supposed to be a light?
"In a way, yes,"
Dad said.
"But this is more about having a light on inside you. By keeping the commandments, we can feel the Holy Ghost. That's one way to have a light on inside."
Dad asked Mom to read a story in the Bible about 10 people who needed to go to a wedding. The wedding was at night, but only 5 people had their lamps ready to go. The other 5 had to leave to put oil in their empty lamps. By the time they got back, they were too late, and they missed the wedding. See Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13.
It's a parable,
Mom said.
That's a story that teaches a lesson.
What we learn from this story,
Dad explained,
is that we need to keep oil in our own lamps at all times. We always need to be ready and have light inside us.
But how?
Lisa asked. She didn't really understand all this oil lamp stuff, Dad grinned.
That's easy, by keeping the commandments. And guess what? We just did that.
Dad dipped a small spoon into the bag of popcorn kernels, scooped out a spoonful, and poured it into the empty glass jar. The kernels clattered on the bottom.
We just had family home evening,
Dad said.
That's keeping a commandment, and it puts oil on our lamps. We don't have a real lamp. Well, we thought this jar could work as a substitute.
Lisa looked down into the jar. Those kernels didn't even cover the bottom.
But it's still so empty,
she said.
It won't be that way for long,
Mom said. Lisa wasn't so sure. She thought it would take forever to fill such a big jar with such tiny scoops of small kernels. The week went on, and Lisa mostly ignored the jar. Each small scoop simply didn't seem to make much difference. Every day, however, Mom and Dad made sure to put in a scoop whenever the family kept a commandment. After 2 weeks, Lisa finally took a good look at the jar. She could hardly believe her eyes. It was already halfway full.
Mom, look,
she said, pointing to the jar.
I know, sweetie. We're making great progress,
Mom said. Lisa started getting more and more excited every time they read scriptures, went to church, and kept other commandments. She felt happy knowing they were doing what Heavenly Father wanted. 2 weeks later, the jar was full to the very top.
I'm proud of our family,
Dad said, holding up the full jar.
This is exactly what the scriptures teach us to do. We kept the commandments each day, and bit by bit, the light inside us grew bright. Now, who's ready for our family home evening activity?
Lisa cheered and clapped her hands. But even better, she realized, was knowing they had followed the commandments. She made a promise to herself that she would always keep oil in her lamp.
Sidebar: the gospel teaches us the things we must know, do, and be to walk in His light. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency.
End of the story. One Scoop at a Time, by David Dixon.
Family Home Evening Wheel. Note, you may need some assistance with this activity. With the Family Home Evening Wheel, you can make an assignment wheel to help with planning Family Home Evening. The Family Home Evening Wheel has the following: a lesson, scripture, prayer, song, activity, and treat. Mount these circles on heavy paper and attach them in the middle with a metal fastener. Write each family member's name around the outside of the circle. Turn the wheel to change assignments each week. End of the Family Home Evening Wheel. Friend to Friend. He gives the best answers. From an interview with Elder Randall K. Bennett of the 70 by Lorraine Mortensen, Church Magazines. Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Moroni chapter 7, verse 26. When I was 5 years old, my mother bought me a pet turtle. One day I was outside playing with my turtle, watching it slowly crawl through the tall blades of grass. Suddenly a loud voice distracted me, and I looked away. When I looked back, my turtle was gone. I searched and searched, but I couldn't find the turtle. Then I remembered that my mother had taught me that Heavenly Father answers our prayers. I knelt on the lawn and asked Heavenly Father to help me find my turtle. I finished my prayer, opened my eyes, and looked down. I expected to see my turtle, but it wasn't there. And no matter where I looked or how much I prayed, I never did find my turtle. I told my mom what happened and asked if I could have a new turtle. She said yes, but when she went back to the pet store, they had no more turtles. she found out that all the turtles at the store, including mine, had been infected with a disease that could have made me and my family members very sick. Now, many years later, I can see that it was a great blessing that I didn't find my turtle. I know now that Heavenly Father answers all our prayers. He knows what is best for us. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Often the answer is no, because I have something better for you. Just be patient. Heavenly Father doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want Him to answer them or when we want Him to answer them. Often we don't understand why we receive the answers He gives us, but because Heavenly Father is kind and wants us to be happy, we know that He always gives us the very best answers. End of the article, Friend to Friend, He Gives the Best Answers, from an interview with Elder Randall K. Bennett of the 70.
I hope they call me on a mission. Be better prepared for tomorrow by learning these skills today. When you follow a budget, you set aside money for important things. The scriptures and prophets teach that paying tithing and saving should be part of our budget. Practice budgeting with these suggestions. You can use real money or cut out coins from this page to practice with. Money matters. Pay your tithing. We pay 10% of our money toward tithing. For example, we pay $1 out of every 10. Ask your parents to show you how to fill out a tithing slip. Save some money. You can make a savings bank out of a clean can, box, or bottle. The December 2011 issue of The Friend shares a story about a boy named Spencer who started saving for his mission by collecting coins in an empty milk can. See Saving for My Mission, page 43. Spend money wisely. If you don't have enough money right now to buy something important, keep earning and saving until you have enough.
Hello, readers. I'm glad I learned how to spend money wisely when I was younger because, as a missionary, I have a certain amount of money to live on each month. Elder Russell M. Nelson recently encouraged us to start pinching pennies for piggy banks to prepare for missionary service. It's never too early to be careful with what you earn. Happy saving, Sister Thrifty. Cheesy tuna melt. Be sure to ask for a parent's help. Ingredients you will need. 1 can of tuna, drained. 1/3 cup chopped celery. 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise. 1 pinch of salt. 4 English muffins split and toasted. 8 slices of ripe tomato. And 8 slices of cheddar cheese. Instructions. Preheat oven to low broil. Mix the tuna, celery, mayonnaise, and salt. Spread the mixture on the toasted English muffin halves and place them on a baking sheet. Top each half with a slice of tomato and cheese. Broil until the cheese is melted, about 3 to 5 minutes. End of the article. I hope they call me on a mission.
Praying for the Fawn. A True Story, written by you. By Tyler L., age 8, California, USA. Go to our Father in fervent prayer. Children's Songbook 108. My name is Tyler, and I am 8 years old. One day at camp, I was walking with my dad, and we saw a newborn fawn lying under a car in the shade. I was worried about it because it seemed tired. I started petting it. After a while, I saw a mother doe with another baby fawn. I knew that the doe was abandoning the first baby under the car. A doctor came and helped me carry the fawn across the street to where the mother was. The doe was leaving, but we put the fawn on the grass and walked away, hoping that the mother would come back. I was so worried about the baby deer all night, and I prayed 3 times to Heavenly Father that He would help the fawn. In the morning, we checked where we had left the fawn and saw that it was gone. Then we saw the doe lying in some grass with the two babies. I know that Heavenly Father answered my prayer. End of the story, Praying for the Fawn. By Tyler L., age 8, California, USA.
Trouble in a Teapot, by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. Amy's ancestors stood up for their beliefs. Can she? Hot drinks are not for the body. Doctrine and Covenants, section 89, verse 9. Amy bounced up and down in her seat. What are you so excited about? Mom asked, smiling at her from the front of the car. It's England Day, Amy squealed. Mrs. Harvey's second grade class had been learning about countries around the world. Amy had already learned to do the Mexican hat dance and sing a song in Japanese. Today, her class was having a special party with lots of English food. Your ancestors joined the church in England, Mom reminded her. They were very brave and stood up for what they believed in. Today, I'll pretend to be just like them. It'll be fun, Amy said happily. When she reached her classroom, Amy stared in awe. The school chairs were arranged in a circle around a table filled with warm crumpets, lemon custard, and raspberry jam. There was even a bowl of English toffee. Amy couldn't wait for the party to start. But then, Amy noticed something. At the back of the table, a small blue teapot was labeled tea. Amy felt a knot form in her stomach. Mrs. Harvey clapped her hands for the children to settle down. Class, take a seat, she sang out. Today we're having a very special party, a tea party. In England, people drink tea and eat crumpets as a snack. Who can tell me what a crumpet is? Amy's classmates eagerly raised their hands, and one explained that a crumpet is a small cake. But Amy just sat in her seat feeling sick. Tea. She knew that tea and coffee were bad for her body. A commandment in the Word of Wisdom said not to drink them. The knot in her stomach kept growing. If she refused, what would her teacher and classmates think? Then Amy thought of a better question. What would Jesus think? What would her ancestors think? Amy remembered Mom saying her ancestors were brave people who stood up for what they believed in. They followed Jesus Christ. They had been baptized in England the same way Amy had been baptized. She still remembered that warm, clean feeling from her baptism and how she always wanted to choose the right. Slowly, the knot loosened, and she knew what she had to do. When Mrs. Harvey came to pour her some tea, Amy put her hand over the cup. No, thank you, she said. I don't drink tea. May I have a glass of water instead? Of course you may, Mrs. Harvey said, and she continued down the row. As Amy drank her water and ate a crumpet dripping with jam, she felt warm inside. She had obeyed the Word of Wisdom, and, like her ancestors, she had been brave and stood up for what she believed.
Sidebar. When I was 8 years old, I attended my friend's birthday party. It was a princess-themed party, and we had a tea party with real tea. I asked for juice instead. I'm glad I chose the right and listened to the Holy Ghost. Robin S., age 10, Alberta, Canada.
End of the story, Trouble in a Teapot, by Jessica Larson.
The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. It's Saturday morning at the Cooper House. Mandy brings the breakfast cereal to the table where her mom is sitting.
Don't tell me Matt and Dad are sleeping. I thought I was the lazy one on Saturdays.
Mom replies,
Oh, they've already had breakfast and left. They went to see Matt's new friend, Franco.
Mandy says,
He has a new friend already? That's not fair. I haven't found any new friends yet. I wish we hadn't moved.
We've only been here a week. Just give it time. You made lots of friends at your old school. You'll make friends here too. Remember, if you want to have a friend...
I know. If you want to have a friend, be a friend.
Meanwhile, at Franco's house...
Hi, I'm Josh Cooper.
I'm Hector Delgado.
Franco says,
Some of these rocks are really cool. What's this one?
Matt replies,
That's a geode. Lots of them are hollow, and some have awesome crystals inside. My dad says geodes are like some people. Not much to look at on the outside, but pretty cool inside.
Franco says,
If they're like people, are any of these rocks musical?
What do you mean?
Asks Matt.
Because then we could have a rock concert.
End of The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy.
A Month of Summer Fun by Jessica Larson. Monday the 1st. Carve soap sculptures with a bar of soap and a butter knife. Tuesday the 2nd. See if your library has a summer reading program. Wednesday the 3rd. Build a fort. Thursday the 4th. Clean something around the house to surprise a parent. Friday the 5th. Set a Book of Mormon summer reading goal. Saturday the 6th. Go cloud watching. Draw pictures of what you see. Sunday the 7th. Make cookies for someone who is sick. Monday the 8th. Make the family home evening wheel on page 20. Tuesday the 9th. Write an answer to the next question corner on page 47. Send us a copy. Wednesday the 10th. Watch for shooting stars or pick out constellations. Thursday the 11th. Watch birds. Read a book to learn about different birds. Friday the 12th. Read aloud to a younger child. Saturday the 13th. Make the cheesy tuna melt on page 23. Sunday the 14th. Make breakfast for your mom and dad. Monday the 15th. Write your own pageant about a great scene from the scriptures. Tuesday the 16th. Wash a car or bike. Wednesday the 17th. Play in the sprinklers. Thursday the 18th. Invent a code and write messages to your friends. Friday the 19th. Hold a paper airplane competition. Saturday the 20th. Draw your own Matt and Mandy cartoon and send us a copy. Sunday the 21st. Write a letter to a missionary. Monday the 22nd. Do secret service for someone in your family. Tuesday the 23rd. Play shadow tag. Try to tag each other's shadows. Wednesday the 24th. Invent a secret language. Thursday the 25th. Play I Spy in a museum or park. Friday the 26th. Write a message to yourself and hide it so you can find it later. Saturday the 27th. Go swimming and have a cannonball contest. Sunday the 28th. Color a picture for your grandparents. Monday the 29th. Look for butterflies in a garden or field. Tuesday the 30th. Pick up litter at a park. Wednesday the 31st. Bury a treasure and make a treasure map. End of a month of summer fun. For Little Friends, Jesus Calls His Disciples by Margot May. Simon and Andrew were two brothers who were fishermen. One night, Simon and Andrew fished all night long, but couldn't catch any fish. Jesus was on Simon's boat. He told the brothers to put their nets into the sea one more time. When they pulled up their nets, they were full of fish. Simon and Andrew called their friends James and John to help empty their nets into their boat. There were so many fish that they filled up two boats. Jesus told the men that if they followed him, they would fish for something even better than fish. They would be fishers of men. Simon, Andrew, James, and John left everything. They even left their boats. They became Jesus' disciples. They followed Jesus and helped him preach the gospel. Just like a fisherman who brings fish into a net, we can help bring people to the gospel by being good examples and teaching them about Jesus. We can be fishers of men, too. From Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. End of the section for Little Friends. Jesus Calls His Disciples.
A Better Way by Ellie Catmull, based on a true story. Help me, dear Father, to freely forgive. Children's Songbook, page 99. Tom threw himself onto the bed. It wasn't fair. He heard Michael's voice from the doorway. I'm sorry I pushed you, Tom, Michael said. Go away, Tom yelled back. The door clicked shut. Tom felt bad for yelling at his brother. Then he remembered their fight, and anger seemed to boil inside of him again. Michael deserved it. What's going on? Mom asked as she came in. When Tom started talking, it felt like hot lava spilling from a volcano. Sometimes I wish Michael wasn't my brother. He's so much bigger and stronger, and I always lose when we fight. I want him to be in trouble so that we're even. Mom looked thoughtful. I sent Michael to his room for fighting, just like I sent you. Would it be fair if I disciplined him more than you, just because you wanted me to? I don't care. I want him to feel like me. Tom clamped the pillow around his head. He felt like he was going to explode. He barely heard Mom leave the room. After a while, Tom calmed down and was able to join family home evening. But he didn't sit by Michael. He didn't even look at him. In the Old Testament, Dad said, people practiced an eye for an eye. That meant if someone poked your eye, you poked his eye back. I wish I could do that, Tom thought. Dad went on, but Jesus taught a better way. Tom blinked, surprised. A better way? When Dad asked him to read, Tom tried to understand what Jesus was saying. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 39. Dad asked Michael what it meant. That we should forgive others? Michael said. Mom nodded. When you try to make someone hurt as much as they hurt you, everyone just keeps feeling hurt. But when you forgive, everyone starts feeling better. How can I possibly forgive him? Tom thought, watching his brother. Michael gave him a cautious smile. Tom looked away, thinking about the fight earlier that day. Then other memories began popping into Tom's mind, like when Michael helped him practice for soccer team tryouts, and when they built a treehouse together. Michael let Tom make the trap door. Michael even taught him how to play songs on the piano. Michael is a pretty good brother after all, Tom realized. As soon as Tom thought those words, a warm feeling started growing in his chest. The more he thought about why he loved Michael, the stronger the good feeling became. Soon Tom was smiling. For the first time all day, he felt relaxed. Dad was saying, I know it can be hard to forgive, but if we remember how much we love each other, we can find a way. I think I found it, Tom thought. After the lesson, as his family headed outside to play kick the can, Tom caught up with his brother. I'm sorry I was so angry today. Michael grinned. It's okay. You can go first in the game tonight, if you want. Happiness bubbled inside Tom. With a smile, he looked around to see if his family was ready to play, then closed his eyes and began to count. Sidebar. Be patient and kind and forgiving. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. End of the story. A Better Way by Ellie Catmull.
Show and tell.
Ty J., age 5, Idaho, USA, likes riding his bike, playing on the swings, and reading stories. He enjoys taking care of his pet cat. His favorite part of the friend is the coloring pages.
Lauren and Amanda W., ages 8 and 11, California, USA, are sisters who enjoy playing the piano and tap dancing. They both play soccer and like being coached by their dad. They once gave their friend a CTR ring, and now all three girls wear their rings to school.
Bradford, Blakely, Abby, and Baya are ages 2, 9, 7, and 4, Utah, USA, enjoy jumping on their trampoline and swimming. This summer, they visited church and American history sites, including the Mayflower.
Resist temptation. Resist temptation's power, and look to the light, for hope will always stay in sight. So long as we hold strong to the iron rod, our lives will not be buried in the sod. Resist temptation's power, stay true to your word, for you can always depend on Jesus Christ our Lord. Gavin D., age 11, Virginia, USA.
During family home evening, I found out I'm related to Edward Partridge, the first bishop of the church. Since that family home evening lesson, I've been very interested in family history work. I'd love to go online and research my ancestors. I have found census records with information about my ancestors. I am excited for my family to do the temple work for the people I have found. Our family is linked through temple work. Carly B., age 9, Texas, USA.
One day I was playing on the playground, and there was a girl who had a different-looking face. My mom told me that she couldn't help that she was born that way. A boy was being mean to the girl, and I didn't want her to have her feelings hurt, so I played with her. She was fun to play with and was really nice. I'm glad I got to play with her. I chose to do the right thing by not making fun of someone who looked different. Caroline S., age 7, North Carolina, USA.
On Sunday, my bishop challenged every member of our ward to give out a copy of the Book of Mormon during the week. On Monday, my family prayed to know who each person should give their Book of Mormon to. I felt like I should give mine to my preschool teacher, Miss Stacy. She attends a church right next to my ward building and has asked me a few questions about our church. During family home evening, I marked the scripture passage, Moroni, chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, and bookmarked it with a pass-along card. I glued my picture in the front cover and wrote my name. I was so excited to give it to her. The next morning, I walked to preschool and handed her the Book of Mormon. She smiled really big and said, "Thank you so much. I'm so glad I accepted our bishop's challenge to share a Book of Mormon." Jackson M., age 5, Arizona, USA.
I am the only member of the church in my class at school. One day, I had a substitute teacher, and she asked a question about a Christian religion in a different country. I thought the answer was Mormons, so I answered her question. She told me that she wanted to know a Christian religion. Because she thought that Mormons were not Christians, I told her that Mormons are Christians because we believe in Jesus Christ. I had just been baptized, and I knew that I believed in Jesus Christ. Our church is His church. I bore my testimony of the Savior to my whole class. Many people have asked me questions about my religion since that day, and I have been able to be a missionary and share the gospel because I stood up for my beliefs. Tate M., age 8, Virginia, USA.
My friend gave me an invitation to her party. I was so excited until I noticed it was on Sunday. My mom called her mom and explained that we made a decision many years ago that Sundays are a day of worship and a day to spend time with our family, and that I wouldn't be able to go to the party. Then my friend's mom changed the day of the party to a Saturday, just so I could come. I love my friends. Emma F., age 8, Ohio, USA.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Jeffrey M., age 6, Maryland, USA. Matthew M., age 8, American Samoa. Brianna F., age 11, Utah, USA. Ellison P., age 8, Utah, USA. And Luke B., age 7, Kansas, USA.
Would you like to send something to Show and Tell? Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of Show and Tell.
Bringing Primary Home. Families are part of Heavenly Father's plan. You can use this lesson and activity to learn more about this month's primary theme. The Book of Mormon tells us about a wicked man named Amalickiah. He wanted to destroy the church and rule over the Nephites as their king. Captain Moroni was a strong and righteous leader of the Nephite armies. Captain Moroni wanted to remind the people how important it was to defend their families and their faith. He tore his coat and made it into a flag or banner. On it he wrote these words, "In memory of our God, our religion and freedom, and our peace, our wives, and our children." He called this banner the title of liberty, and he fastened it on the end of a pole. Then he knelt and prayed that the people could stay free, so they could still worship God and receive His blessings. See Alma chapter 46, verses 3 through 18. Today we have something to remind us how important our families and our faith are. It is the family, a proclamation to the world. Here are some of its words. The family is central to the Creator's plan for the eternal destiny of His children. The family is ordained of God. Sidebar: Ideas for Family Talk. Together with your family, you could read The Family, a Proclamation to the World. You could also talk about some ways you can all work together to make your family strong. Then you could choose one of those ways and make a plan for working on it. Song and Scripture. Families Can Be Together Forever. Children's Songbook, 188. Alma, chapter 46, verses 3 through 18. Family Banner Activity. You may need some assistance. Use a piece of paper or fabric to make a banner that represents your family. Use markers or crayons to draw things that are important to your family. Add a quote or saying that expresses how your family members feel about their faith in Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father, or about the blessings of being a family. End of the section, Bringing Primary Home. Families are part of Heavenly Father's plan.
For older kids, Fasting for Shem by Elizabeth Hervey Osborne, based on a true story. Tim was worried. Then he realized there was something he could do. Turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Tim jogged up the sidewalk after school. He saw Mom sitting on the porch steps holding a camera. "What's the camera for?" he asked. Mom patted the step beside her. "I'd like to take your picture, but I need to talk with you about something first. Sit down for a second, please." Tim plopped his backpack on the porch and sat down. He got a funny feeling all of a sudden. Was something wrong? "I got a call this afternoon," Mom explained. "Your friend Shem is in the hospital." Tim took a quick breath. "What happened?" he asked. "Is Shem okay?" Mom slipped an arm around Tim. "No, he's not. He had to have an operation." "But Mom," Tim protested. "Shem was here just 2 days ago. He was fine." "I know, honey," Mom said, "but sometimes something goes wrong inside the body very suddenly. An important blood vessel in Shem's brain stopped working. Doctors aren't sure if he'll be able to see or recognize anybody once he wakes up from the operation." Tim couldn't think of anything to say. His eyes stung with tears and his throat hurt. He hugged Mom and thought about Shem. They had so much fun last summer playing Knights and Dragons in Shem's backyard. He was scared for his friend. "Why do you want to take a picture of me?" he finally asked. Mom smiled. "The doctors think it might help Shem if some of his favorite things are nearby when he wakes up. You can't be in Shem's hospital room, but we can send a picture. Would you like to do that?" "Yes." Tim jumped up. Anything to help Shem. Mom stepped back and took the photograph. Tim folded his arms and thought, "Can we do anything else to help?" "You can pray for him." Tim felt relieved. "Of course. Prayer was the perfect idea. I'll go do that right now," he said, running inside. The next morning, Mom offered Tim some eggs and cereal for breakfast. Everything looked so tasty, but Tim shook his head. "I don't want any, thanks." "What's wrong? Do you have a stomach ache?" "No," Tim answered. "I just think maybe I should fast today for Shem." "Oh," Mom said. She knelt down beside Tim. "I think that would be a very good idea," she said quietly. When Tim got to school, he gave his teacher a note Mom had written, explaining that he wouldn't be eating lunch. Miss Thompson looked closely at him after she read the note. "Shem must be a very special friend," she said. Tim nodded. All day at school, whenever Tim's stomach rumbled, he said a silent prayer that Heavenly Father would bless Shem. It wasn't easy, but he felt good inside doing this for his friend. On Sunday, he learned that other primary kids had fasted and prayed for Shem, too. Several days later, Tim walked in the house just as Mom was hanging up the phone. "Great news," Mom said. "Shem opened his eyes today, and the first thing he said was, 'Where am I, and why is there a picture of Tim?'" "He saw my picture?" Tim asked, excited. "Shem could still see." "Yes, he did, and he knew it was you," Mom said. "That means his brain still works the way it should. The doctors are calling it a miracle." Tim let out a whoop of excitement. He leaped up and started running down the hall toward his bedroom. "Hey, where are you going?" Mom asked. Tim paused for only a moment. "I've got to thank Heavenly Father."
Sidebar. Last year, my neck was really bothering me. I was in a lot of pain. My mom started taking me to see different doctors. I was very afraid. My family decided to have a family fast. In addition, my dad gave me a priesthood blessing. I started going to physical therapy. It was an answer to our prayers. I started to feel better and get more strength in my neck. I knew it was Heavenly Father watching out for me and blessing my body to feel better. I am grateful that I know prayers can be answered. Aubrey P., age 8, California, USA.
End of the story, Fasting for Shem, by Elizabeth Hervey Osborne.
Special witness. Why is family history work so important? Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles shares some of his thoughts on this subject. The members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles are special witnesses of Jesus Christ. The prophet Joseph Smith declared that our greatest responsibility in this world is to seek after our dead. Family history is a vital part of the work of salvation and exaltation. We have the covenant responsibility to search out our ancestors and provide for them the saving ordinances of the gospel. I invite the youth of the church to learn about and experience the spirit of Elijah. I encourage you to study, to search out your ancestors, and to prepare yourselves to perform proxy baptisms in the temple for your kindred dead. As you respond in faith to this invitation, your heart shall turn to the fathers. Your love and gratitude for your ancestors will increase. You will be safeguarded in your youth and throughout your lives. Your testimony of and conversion to the Savior will become deep and abiding. Adapted from the Hearts of the Children Shall Turn, Ensign, November 2011, pages 24 to 27. End of Special Witness.
Hi, I'm Erica from El Salvador. I live in the city of San Salvador in El Salvador, and I love to prepare names for temple ordinances. The Relief Society sisters in my branch asked if I could learn to index names using the Family Search Program. I wanted to help. My mother also wanted me to help, so we began learning how to index together. When I first started, it took me a whole day to index 9 names. But now, after working hard and practicing, I can index 300 names in a day. After finishing my homework, I spend time indexing names. For me, indexing is as fun as playing or watching TV, but I know that it has a greater purpose. Heavenly Father blessed me with the opportunity to help prepare names for temple ordinances for more than 2,000 of my Salvadorian ancestors in the spirit world. Hear Erica's testimony online. Go to lds.org/friend and click on One in a Million. End of Hi, I'm Erica from El Salvador.
Question Corner. Responses are intended for help and perspective, not as pronouncements of church doctrine. Sometimes I get mad when my soccer team loses. How can I be a good sport? Responses from readers. I was once playing kickball and we lost miserably. Heavenly Father helped me to be able to smile and congratulate the other team. If you ever get angry while you are losing, I advise you to say a quick prayer in your heart to Heavenly Father to help you have a positive attitude towards your players and the other team. Heidi W., age 12, Texas, USA.
I think about what Jesus would do. I try to be kind to the other players and be happy for them. After the game, I think about how I can practice more and do better next time. Graham W., age 9, Alaska, USA.
You have to dwell on the little victories throughout the game and how proud you felt during those times. If you think positively and remember your team's victories throughout the entire game, I believe you will still feel as proud and happy as if you had won. Anna L., age 11, New Mexico, USA.
When my team loses a soccer game, I think about a primary song and sing it in my head so that I can feel calm inside. That way, I cannot be mad about losing my soccer game. Jeffrey B., age 5, Michigan, USA.
Try to be happy for the other team. Shake their hands and say, good job. Everyone will like being around you if you show good character when your team loses. Jason N., age 10, Illinois, USA.
My friend was on a different soccer team than me this year.
Even if she wins, I am happy for her. We give high fives at the end of the game. The most important thing when you play is to have fun. Sarah S., age 7, Mississippi, USA.
Have a celebration. One time my soccer team lost a game. Everyone was upset, but we were surprised when our coach threw a pizza party. It really lifted our spirits. Emma M., age 10, Arizona, USA.
Next question. I'm worried about a problem in my family, and I keep praying about it, but it doesn't seem to be getting better. What can I do? Do you have some advice about this? Send us your answer and photo by July 31st, 2013. Find our address on page 48 or email us at friend@ldschurch.org. Put question corner in the subject line. Remember to include a parent's permission. End of question corner.
Guide to the friend. Possible ideas for family home evening. Number 1. Read Save Her. Play the safety circle game together and talk about things your family can do to help others. Number 2. As a family, read the story rug. Talk about your ancestors and play the family story swap game. 3. Make a time capsule together. Collect pictures and mementos and consider having each family member write their testimony on a piece of paper. Keep the time capsule in a safe place until you are ready to open it. 4. Use the Bringing Primary Home lesson and activity to learn more about this month's primary theme. Number 5. Read One Scoop at a Time. Talk about some things your family can do to fill your lamps with oil. Get a jar like Lisa's family did, and add a scoop of dried beans, rice, or corn every time your family does something to keep the commandments. Note, the friend can be found on the internet at lds.org/friend. To subscribe online, go to store.lds.org. To send us a letter, drawing, or poem, please fill out a form and include it with your submission. Please also include a school photo or high-quality snapshot. Submissions will not be returned and may be edited for length and clarity. Children whose work is submitted should be at least 3 years old. Please send your submission to The Friend Magazine, 50 East North Temple Street, Room 2432, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-0024, or email to thefriend@ldschurch.org. The following information and permission must be included. Full name, age, state, province, country. I agree to the terms of the Friend Submission Agreement, lds.org/friend/parental consent, and grant permission for the Friend to print my child's submission and photo in print or online. Signature of parent or legal guardian. Topical index to this issue of the Friend. Anger and management. A better way. And question corner. Choose the right, one scoop at a time. Church history, A Girl of Great Faith, part 2. On the Trail, Challenges in Missouri. And Stories of Jesus, Jesus Christ Commands the Saints to Gather to Zion. Courage, A Gift of Great Faith, part 2. Disciples, A Month of Summer Fun. Duty, The Story Rug. Family, Bulletin Board, and Bringing Primary Home, Families Are Part of Heavenly Father's Plan. Family History, The Story Rug, Bright Idea Poster, A Girl of Great Faith, Part 2, On the Trail, Challenges in Missouri, Stories of Jesus, Jesus Christ Commands the Saints to Gather to Zion. Special witness, Elder David A. Bednar from For Older Kids. And friends around the world, Erica from El Salvador from For Older Kids. Family Home Evening. Stories of Jesus, Jesus Christ Commands the Saints to Gather to Zion. And Family Home Evening Wheel from Things to Make and Do. Fasting. Fasting for Shem from the section For Older Kids. Finances. I Hope They Call Me on a Mission. Forgiveness, A Better Way, Holy Ghost, A Big Wind and a Small Voice, Jesus Christ, Bulletin Board, Jesus calls his disciples from For Little Friends. Prayer. Friend to Friend, He Gives the Best Answers by Elder Randall K. Bennett. Praying for the Fawn. And Fasting for Shem from the section for older kids. Service. Bulletin Board. Temples. Special Witness, Elder David A. Bednar. And Friends Around the World, Erica from El Salvador, from the section for older kids. Tithing, I Hope They Call Me on a Mission. Word of Wisdom, Trouble in a Teapot. Zion, On the Trail Challenges in Missouri, and Stories of Jesus, Jesus Christ Commands the Saints to Gather to Zion. End of the section, Guide to the Friend, for the July 2013 Friend Magazine. Prophet Portrait, Heber J. Grant. This month's portrait shows a picture of Heber J. Grant with a picture of Japan in the background, also a picture of a radio receiver, President Grant speaking on a microphone, and a picture of Deseret Industries, with the following caption. Heber J. Grant organized and presided over the first mission in Japan. He was the president of the church when the church started to use radio to broadcast talks. When members needed help during the Great Depression, President Grant formed the welfare program of the church, including Deseret Industries. This organization still collects items and sells or donates them to people in need. End of the Prophet Portrait, Heber J. Grant.